Hey folks, welcome to the Hunter's Quest podcast. This is your host, Hunter McWaters. It's great to be with you. And this week I have a really unique episode with a guy named Cody Austin. Now, if you follow along with what I'm doing, or if you follow along with Loophold on their social or YouTube channels and stuff like that, you've probably heard us talking about this thing called Project Hunt. A Project Hunt is something Loophold started doing a few years ago, where basically they give folks an opportunity to apply to have their story told by Loophold Optics and on the Loophold Optics digital channels. So, pretty much every hunt has a story to tell, and Loophold is looking for compelling stories, whether that's, a once-in-a-lifetime tag you've been applying for years and finally drew, or maybe it's just a really cool family hunt or some kind of tradition, just any kind of compelling story. Loophold is looking to tell those, and so they're going to pick one winner from the East and one winner from the West, and they're going to basically send out a film crew, or somebody who's one of the best in the business. You know, it could be some of the guys that you'll hear us talking about in this episode, or it could be somebody else, but they're going to send out an amazing documentarian to follow along, to tell your story, and then they are going to put that story together and share that on the Loophold Optics YouTube channel and across their digital channels. So it's a really, really cool opportunity to have your story told, and also for yourself to have your story documented and told in a really awesome, exciting way. So my guest today is a former winner of Project Hunt. And, basically he's a Midwest hunter. And one day he got a diagnosis, and kind of changed his perspective on life and decided, you know what, it's time to burn these elk points. I'm going to go and do this hunt. And he applied, and actually a couple of my friends, a couple of guys I work with, John Bash and Luke Dusenberry, went out and helped document his story. He went out on a general Wyoming tag, did a really cool horseback elk hunt, and got a very nice bull. And it's an awesome, awesome film. And we talk about his story a little bit more in depth, his faith journey as it kind of relates to that, and why he decided to sign up for Project Hunt. And it's pretty cool because it's awakened some new passions in his life for photography and stuff like that. So very cool story, really, really good guy, very deserving of this project. And, it's a general, like I said, a general Wyoming elk tag. And I just released last night, today is Tuesday, June 17th. So on the 16th, 2025, I just released my 2024 Wyoming general elk tag hunt film on my YouTube channel. It's a very cool episode. I'm super proud of it. Basically, it's a DIY horseback hunt. So me and my buddy David Merrill of Bow Spider spent a couple days hunting the low country kind of near the trailheads, and basically ran into a ton of grizzlies and wolves and other hunters, and decided let's get in deep. So we loaded up the horses and went way back in there, and immediately we were in the bulls, and I shot a nice little 6-point, only my second elk ever. So it's a very, very cool episode, a very, very cool story. I'm super proud of this one, and it's getting a lot of really good response on YouTube so far. So please go over to my YouTube channel, subscribe, watch that film in its entirety, and if you drop a comment on the film and let me know what you think about it, you're going to get entered to win a brand new MDT Hunt 26 chassis. It's an awesome, awesome chassis, like a really cool way to upgrade your rifle and cut some weight. It's carbon fiber. It only weighs 26 ounces. It's got a foldable stock, a kind of like a pistol grip style grip. It's got a customizable comb height and also length of pull. So it's a really awesome chassis. So if you watch the film, the rifle I'm shooting, I have that chassis on my rifle. it's like I said, it's just a really cool way to upgrade your rifle, and it's super easy to install. It's like four screws, and trust me, if I can do it, you can do it. So go in there, watch the film. It's an awesome adventure. Subscribe to the channel and drop a comment. You're going to get entered to win that chassis. So also, you know, I just want to say thanks to my partners. Couldn't be doing this without them. I want to say thanks to Browning Firearms and Ammunition. Really looking forward to getting my new X-Bolt Speed 2 carbon fiber out in the field this year. Looking at it right now, it's a beautiful, beautiful gun. And speaking of adjustable stuff, I just was noticing that my eye box looked a little funny as I was shooting last time, and I was able to go in and adjust my length of pull on this new Browning stock they have on the Speed new X-Bolt Speeds. And really cool that you can do that, because I made one little adjustment, my length of pull, and my accuracy just went like straight up, like way better. So really looking forward to hunting with that thing this year. Obviously, Leupold Optics. Canis Athlete, if you're following along. I also just released a really in-depth one-year review and full walkthrough of my total layering system on my YouTube channel. So if you're interested in Canis Athlete but haven't had a chance to see it much or get your hands on it, want more details, there's a very in-depth video on everything I use from Canis on my YouTube channel right now as well. You can check it out. And if you use the code QUEST at Canis, you're going to save some money when you try out a piece. You're also going to be helping me out by using that code. So use the code QUEST at Canis Athlete. I think they got a sale going on right now too, which my code will work on top of the sales. So you can get some really killer deals on some of, if not the best clothing in the industry. Super awesome stuff. Really impressed. So go check out that video if you're interested. Use the code QUEST there. Also, Eberle Stock, you know, I use their stuff, everything from my everyday carry to luggage and transportation to in the backcountry. So if you want a full like list of my gear list of stuff I use, you can. It's pretty cool. You can go to eberlestock.com/quest and see everything I use there. And you know, if you purchase something through that link, or if you use the code QUEST at checkout, that's also going to help me out. And like I said, they got everything you need, from like stuff to go to the range, to everyday carry, backpacks, travel, carry-on stuff, luggage, dry bags, backcountry packs. My favorite vinyl harness I've ever tried is the Eberle Stock one. And guys, I can't say too much about it, but in just a few short weeks, they're going to be releasing a new frame and a new pack system that is going to revolutionize the Eberle Stock lineup. I'll just say that. It's I had a chance to run all that stuff. Be on the lookout for that new stuff from Eberle Stock. It is sick. It's a huge upgrade to their line. I'm really looking forward to using it this year. But anyway, go to eberlestock.com/quest. You can see my full gear list. And if you purchase something, please use the code or use that link, because it'll help me out big time too. Other partners will say thanks to Phoenix Lighting, Half Face Blades, Onyx Hunt, Seek Outside. Couldn't do it without these guys. Yeah, and I couldn't do it without you guys. So thanks for your support. Go to YouTube, watch my new film. Go to loophole.com too and apply for Project Hunts. Go to loophole.com/Project Hunt. You have until the 22nd of June to apply. It's not going to take long to apply, and it could be like a really, really cool opportunity to document an awesome story. And so I really encourage you guys to apply. Go watch my film on YouTube and subscribe, and please share it with friends and family, guys. I'm hoping to. Well, I am in this for the long haul. I'm not going anywhere, but your support makes all the difference. And so keep them up. Keep the project in prayer. And Jesus love you guys. You only got one life to live, so make sure you get out there and live it right. And we'll see you guys in the next one. Thanks. Right here. everybody. Welcome to the Hunter's Quest podcast. This is your host, Hunter McWaters. And today I'm joined by Mr. Cody Austin. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. It's a humid day in Wisconsin, but all things considered, it's been a great day, so I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Yeah, man, good. Busy. It's always a busy time of year right now, like finishing up the whole season and trying to get last season stuff put out. Actually, I have a elk hunt premiering tonight. Similar to your hunt a little bit, but before we jump into that, I was going to just hear a little bit about you, and you said you're in Wisconsin, is that right?
Yep. From Wisconsin. I'm from Belleville, which is where I live now. But grew up like just south of town. So technically it's a New Glarus address. So I don't know how many people listening have heard of New Glarus, Wisconsin, but I'm sure quite a few compared to Belleville because of the beer. So yeah. I just tell people I'm from New Glarus because more people know. Yeah. I am a
big Packers fan.
You know, when I was on the podcast with Drew Miles from Tricer, he asked me the same thing. And I was like, you know, I love the Packers. Don't get me wrong. It just, everything, football just coincides with our favorite time of the year.
Yeah.
So I'll be the first to admit, I'm a pretty fair weather fan when it comes to football.
Yeah.
So I'd just rather be hunting. I'd rather be outside, not confined inside. So
I like watching it, and like it's fun to have on if you have nothing else going on a Sunday or whatever, but I've never been like I went through a phase where I was kind of into it, but I've never really like been like that into it, man.
Yeah, playoffs are great because like for me, I'm pretty much done hunting beginning of December here in Wisconsin. So late December into January is great, and the Packers are really good about getting to the playoffs but not getting to the Super Bowl. So
yeah. Well, it's good. Like, I mean, honestly, I feel like we should be as men out there having our own adventures. And it sounds like that's what you're doing, not like spending hours every single week obsessing and like learning about other guys' adventures. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do not participate in fantasy sports.
Me either.
I don't care. And I would say most of my identity is centered in what I do outside and how I treat other people.
I like that.
Yeah. So I work full time for the city of Madison Forestry Department here in Wisconsin. Okay. I've been with them for 10 years and I love it. And then outside of that, I serve as the village forester actually here in Belleville in my hometown. That's a part-time gig.
That sounds cool though. The village forester.
Yeah, the village forester. I get to, you know, get yelled at by the occasional person about their village tree out front. But most of the time it's a good gig. I get to decide where new trees are going. There's been a lot of growth here in town over the last probably 8 years. With new developments, and so it's nice to have a lot of responsibility about where new trees get to go, what kinds of trees they are, and basically what I tell people about planting trees is I never plant them for me to enjoy. It's always right. for somebody else, and in terms of altruistic values, that's one of the higher ones I have is like, I never do it for me. It's for somebody else.
Yeah. There's some Bible verses where God tells the Israelites or something like, you will plant vineyards that others will enjoy or something like that. I can't remember the exact words, but
yeah.
Similar concept. And dude, I took a urban horticulture class in college just like randomly as an elective. And like a lot goes into that, like, you know, picking the type of tree, like, you know, it's not going to drop a bunch of random stuff everywhere. Or like in the Middle East where my wife is from, it's nice because they have fruit trees everywhere, mm-hmm. which is really nice. I actually wish we had more, but I understand why cities don't plant fruit trees because, like, you know, like a mulberry tree.
Yeah.
Most people don't even know what mulberries are in America. Me and my wife, we walk around and just pick them and eat them like this time of year.
Yeah.
But like if they're in the middle of a city and they're like dropping on people's cars and it can be gross.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to take into account, okay, if we plant fruit trees, there's a pro and con, right? Pro, there's food for people and animals. Con is it's going to drop at some point. And not only does the dropping of the fruit cause issues like to pedestrians or infrastructure, you know, people's driveways or people's cars, but also like particularly like apple trees in the fall, the wasps get pretty darn aggressive when they're feeding on the apples on the ground. And if you're nearby and like you decide to, if you're apple picking, you better be paying attention if you don't know what you're looking for to pick one up. You get, I've gotten stung before right on the hand. So it's kind of a that thing.
Ever since that class, though, I'm like, oh, a tree is exhibiting lots of chlorosis and dieback. I wonder if there's soil compaction around the base.
There you go. Very good. I like that. Yeah, chlorosis. A lot of oak trees around here get chlorosis, and it's treatable. You can treat it for chlorosis, and I've seen them bounce back pretty well. So,
Nice.
yeah.
Well, anyway, man, so that's cool. So I guess how, like, did you go to school for like horticulture or something?
I have a biology degree from UW-Platteville.
Oh, nice.
And I wasn't sure like what I wanted to do with that, like going through school. I entered into college actually going to Platteville for reclamation. And then reclamation is like, this is a very basic way of explaining, but you have a mine site that's no longer being used. Okay. What do you do to turn that mine site into a natural looking space again? So that's reclamation.
That's cool. It's like habitat restoration almost.
Exactly. Yep. And like when you think of like Gold Rush Alaska, like Parker Schnabel, like they do a lot of reclamation that you don't see on camera, you know, outside of what you see on the show, like to turn their sign their mine site into usable space for nature again. And they do have some episodes where you can see it, but a lot of it you don't see, but it's really, really cool. But that ended up being a lot more engineering oriented classes that I was not real great at. So I decided to switch to biology and it was great. And then like I finished school and I was looking for a job and I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. And I didn't really want to go to grad school. I didn't want to spend another 2 to 4 years in school some more. And this company, this tree care company over by Milwaukee, was hiring only college graduates for arborist trainees. And so I applied and got a job there, worked for them for a little over 2 years, and it was great. Learned so much. And then I got my job at the city, and I've been there since June of 2015, so exactly 10 years from right now ago. And I recently got promoted, so that's been really fun and a new set of responsibilities. So, yeah.
So you have something to do with like planning and stuff like that too, but then are you actually involved like in hands-on like cutting stuff every day or like what's your day-to-day like look like?
Yeah, day to day, if people watch the film that I'm in for Project Hunt, at the beginning, they'll see I was pruning a honey locust tree, and granted, I was climbing it with my climbing gear, but most of the time we're working in our bucket truck. And but yeah, I'm still stick cutting is what we call it. Today I did part of a like a 54-inch diameter silver maple removal. And yeah, 54 inches wide. Got like a third of that done or so, and then I had to go to a meeting here in the afternoon. So I'm still very much involved in stick cutting, tree pruning, tree planting, tree maintenance in general. Just now I'm a crew leader, so it's been a really nice segue from lowest on the totem pole for 10 years to next step above lowest on the totem pole. But I really love it.
And so I'm assuming you're a big whitetail guy being from the Midwest, huh?
Yeah, big whitetail guy. As as Brady would say from Go Hunt, you know, big whitetail guy. Yeah, big whitetail guy. I pretty much exclusively just whitetail hunt for here in Wisconsin. I used to do a lot of smaller game hunting, like rabbits, squirrel, ducks with my dad when I was younger, but I love whitetail hunting more than anything else, at least in Wisconsin. But when it comes to Western hunting, last year, him and I went to Buffalo, Wyoming, and we each got antelope
Nice.
and with our bows. So that was
Ooh,
great.
nice. Was that your first antelope hunt or?
It was my second antelope hunt. I got my first one 10 years ago, actually, with the same outfitter. And we went back again, and it's always been a good time going to that outfitter. I got mine on the first morning, like 40 minutes into the hunt. I just, and he's
It
big. I mean,
happens,
he's a
man.
Pope and Young goat.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I couldn't pass that up. And then, I don't know, I personally, I like pronghorn meat better than elk meat.
Really?
Yeah,
Huh.
I get it. I get the burger mixed with beef tallow, and it's
Oh, you
excellent.
gotta do that for sure. Hold on one second.
Sure.
I was trying to take my jacket off without stopping talking, but it wasn't working.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta get it mixed with tallow. But yeah, I don't know. I honestly, I think antelope of mule deer, elk, and antelope. I think antelope's my least favorite, actually.
Really?
They're all good though. I mean, like, honestly, if you cook them right, you take care of them right in the field. Like, I've never had like bad game meat unless you didn't do something right. And my wife and mother-in-law are like amazing at cooking it, so it's all good to me. But yeah, I don't know. You like antelope, huh?
I like antelope. My girlfriend said the same thing. Like, she goes, I think antelope's better than elk. And I had told her up front, I'm like, there's a chance you might like this better than elk. And we love elk, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Like, I'll take elk over mule deer and whitetail every single time, and moose included. Like, I'll take elk above them all. But antelope, for I guess maybe it's the outfitter that I've gone to and what they eat, which is primarily just hay. They're excellent. So,
Could be that little grass fed.
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think most of the antelope I've shot have been eating, I guess, sage mainly. I'm not sure. I mean, they've all been in sage. But I honestly have never had bad game meat, even including Audad, which some people say is like inedible, but
Really? So the audit you got last season, you like that?
yeah, I mean, we ate some backstrap and it was a little tough, but I mean, anything right off the animal like the same day is a little tough when you just like throw it on a grill. But then I got the rest of it just ground up. And I mean, dude, I think mentally I would rather eat elk or something else just 'cause the stigma, but like I don't know. So, I usually get like the better parts of the animal, like in larger pieces that we mainly make stew meat out of, like cube it and make like
Sure.
in the stew, and what's it called, the pressure cooker, and do different stews and stuff. Because my wife's Iranian, and that's kind of how they do most of their food. Then the rest I get ground, and like so Sundays I'll just make like 3 pounds of ground whatever deer, elk, all that, or I'll like mix. One time I had bear, antelope, and elk all mixed.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll just prepare that for like the whole week. So anyway, what I'm getting at is I honestly can't tell a huge difference of pretty much anything really if it's ground and just like cooked with, salt and pepper and onion powder. That's all I do.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't know. I think it comes down to all comes down to game, the care and stuff. But a lot of people do think antelope is some of the best out there.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. But anyway, yeah, let's jump into this hunt, man. So, have you been a loophole guy your whole life, or did you come to them later, or how's that been?
I came to them later, but like a long time before I applied to Project Hunt. So, growing up in Wisconsin, we used, Vortex equipment for a long
Okay.
time.
Oh yeah, that's the yep.
And I have an uncle that's worked for them for like over 25 years. So,
Oh
it
wow.
was nice getting, friends and family discount, right? And This was well, 2019-ish. During rifle season in Wisconsin, I went to shoot a doe right at last shooting light, and she was west of me, and the sun had gone down far behind the hill, but there was still like orange sky, right? Is clear, you know, clear, high pressure day, and she was below me down in the valley, and when I dialed up to 16 power, I couldn't even see her, and like the whole scope was orange, and I was like, what the heck, you know, like in 300 something yards, I can make that shot, and so I thought, well, if I'm going to be going on an elk hunt in a few years, the last thing I want to do is be ready to shoot this animal that I've spent a lot of resources trying to acquire and have my scope fail on me. So that a couple days after that occurrence in that season, I decided to do a bunch of research. And so I looked at, you know, Night Force, Leica, Leupold, you name it. I looked into it, and everything I was reading, like particularly Reddit threads, I find more informative than Facebook groups. And even like, well, Rock Slide is nice too online, finding the different threads on different topics like that. And it just came back to Leupold. And then you look up people that use Leupold and depend on it, people like Jim Shockey. And it seemed to be like a pretty easy choice then at that point. So then my first scope was a VX6 HD that I put on my rifle, and I still have it on the one rifle. Now I have two rifles. The rifle that I shot my elk with was a Christensen Arms. I love it. Nice and light. And part of the Project Hunt winning package, Scott actually sent me a scope that I put on that rifle, and he wasn't even mentioning he was going to send me a scope, but he sent me one, and I put it on that rifle. I was going to use either one, you know. And then, you know, got the scope, and you know, like 2 months later, I'm shooting an elk with it. But I've primarily been Vortex up until then, and now exclusively Leupold. I know that they won't fail in the field. And another super important piece to that was when I was looking at different scopes, when I was doing the research leg of it, I found a Go Hunt sponsored YouTube video. And this is probably like 7, 8 years old now at this point, where just your average guy, I couldn't even tell you his name. Just he was in the market of getting a new scope on his rifle. Leupold invited him out to their testing grounds there, and I think it's Eastern Oregon, where it's pretty deserty. And they had a whole lineup of rifles on their shooting platform area, and then out at range, they had all the different targets, and they had, you know, they had Zeiss scopes, they had a Vortex scope or two, they had Night Force, and then they had Leupold, and then like they wanted to make him run through all of those pretty much one after another and another
Oh,
at the
cool.
same time at low light to figure out, you know, which one's going to perform the best. And it was Leupold. And so I was
Interesting.
pretty much sold after that. I can actually send you the link to that. I think
Yeah, I haven't seen that video. That sounds cool.
I've saved it in my YouTube channel, so I can send that to you. It's actually like just some guy like me,
Yeah,
just an
that's cool.
unpaid, you know, just wanted to figure out what the best scope is, and it's very compelling. So after I had seen that, I was pretty well set on Leupold, so I have
For
no
sure.
reason to ever switch. Like it's just going to work for me, and it's going to work for other people when they need it to.
And not to like nerd out too hard on Leupold, but I like knew when I started this whole thing like 4 or 5 years ago, I was like, I'm going to work with Leupold. I don't care how long it takes. Like, and it wasn't easy because, like I said, they're a legit brand. They have a lot of very legit ambassadors, and they're rightfully so protective of their brand because they built a really awesome brand, and they don't want to just let anybody on board because they got to know you're legit and whatever and making good content. So, but I was like, I'm not going to settle for anything. Like, I want to work with those guys. And it took time and work, but proud to be working with Leupold now. So anyway, tell me back a little bit, like, what gave you the Western hunting bug, and, you know, how long, when did you start applying for this hunt?
Sure. So back when I was 13, I went to Wyoming the first time in my life. My dad and my mom paid for a mule deer hunt. Ooh. So that was circa 2003.
Was that your idea, or was that their idea?
That was my idea, and okay. They were supportive of it. Back then, I mean, it was probably like $3,500, $3,000. Back then, that's a lot of money for a middle-class family. And they let me do it and went out there, and come to find out later on, that was like the height of the mule deer population boom right there. Oh, wow. Like late 90s, early 2000s. So like we went out there, and the outfitter we went with took us to like their lease on a big hay field or a big hay farm and ranch out there. And there was a couple hundred mule deer in just one field. And nowadays you go out there, it's like, you'll see a couple hundred whitetail and antelope together, and maybe one little small group of mule deer by themselves. So went out there. I shot my first mule deer on the first evening that we hunted, and got the bug then of just seeing, nice. Like, you know, in one field, you could see elk, mule deer, whitetail, and antelope, and maybe even a black bear or something. Yeah. And it's just like, wow, I didn't have a term for it back then, but now it's like, that's a target rich environment. Mm-hmm. You go out there and then it's like, we were actually by Sheridan there for that hunt. And like, so right in the background is the Bighorn Mountains. So then, and there I decided, like, at one point I wanted to go hunt in the mountains, and then knew it was going to cost a lot more. And then, so back in like 2017, I started building points for elk. And
just in Wyoming or multiple states?
Yeah, just in Wyoming. I understand their application process a lot more than other states, mainly
it's
because
Wyoming has a pretty good system. Yeah. And that's, I always recommend to people, start there, and maybe start there in Montana if you want to do a two-state, and maybe Colorado third. But Wyoming's got a good system, and I've hunted Wyoming maybe more than any other place, honestly. I think they got a pretty good system.
Yeah, it's definitely user-friendly. Getting to learn what the system is for application processes and like preference points and whatnot. So 2017, I started accumulating points, not knowing if I wanted to go with a general tag or a limited draw area. And for a while then, I was just, I was hung up on what I wanted to do with that exactly. Like, do I go with a general unit, or do I go with a more specific unit where it's limited draw? And then I started having symptoms of MS, not knowing it was MS, in 2018. And it came on, like, I had numbness around my belly button for like a month, and then it kind of went away gradually. And then it was gone for like a year and a half. Wow. And then it came back again in, I think, 2020. The same way, like numbness around my midsection, and it kind of like went around to like my back. So I was explaining to the doctor at the Mayo Clinic, it feels like a belt of numbness kind of a thing. And they're like, yeah, so you were having a flare up and you didn't know it. Then fast forward to 2022. And that was when I had like my arms went numb from my shoulder
Oh.
down to my hand,
Wow.
like to my wrist area.
Like you
The
woke up one day and they were numb or?
No, it wasn't like you wake up on a specific day. It's just like kind of a gradual, I'd say maybe
Gotcha.
like a week or 2 weeks, it kind of will come on real
Yeah.
faint, and then it gets to the point where, okay, this is affecting my life. It's
Yeah.
affecting how I put on a t-shirt. It's affecting how I drive. It's affecting my livelihood when I go to work, especially someone that operates either a handsaw or a chainsaw every day. So luckily, before that, the arm numbness started. I had really bad carpal tunnel, which was induced by a chainsaw activity for the last, at that point, like 9 years of my career. So I was off of work at that point, because of numbness in my hands. So then, like, when the arm numbness all the way from the hand up to the shoulder started, I thought it was definitely work related. Like, oh, I must have like a pinched nerve in my neck, and that's causing bilateral arm numbness. And so I talked to the guy that performed the EMG for me, the Dr. Johnson. He recommended I get an MRI of my neck, so a cervical MRI. He's like, you got something going on other than carpal tunnel really bad, and you need to have carpal tunnel surgery. You have something else going on. So I got an MRI of my neck in late July of 2022. I remember it was a Friday afternoon. I went in for the MRI. By Friday evening at like 6 p.m., when I got home from the hospital for the MRI, my doctor was calling me, and that's after 5 p.m. I wasn't expecting a home call, like a cell phone
Right.
call at that time, and so I knew it was something urgent. And she goes, "Cody, they found some lesions on your spinal cord in your neck area. We don't know what that means right now. What I'm going to have happen is I'm going to talk to the neurology team at the UW, University of Wisconsin, Madison, over the weekend, and I will contact you as soon as I know what their next steps are going to be, what they're prescribing us to do." I was like, "Oh, okay." She was, I mean, doctors are really good at being blunt and straight to the point and not sugarcoating anything,
Yeah.
but they're also good at not really going into a whole lot of depth when they don't have the answers, too, not to make people afraid.
Right.
So
Were you
Monday,
afraid?
huh?
Were you afraid?
At that point, no.
Okay.
I still thought it was like,
Just something.
I Googled like, what could cause a lesion on a spinal cord? And there's a bunch of different things that can cause it. One of them being injuries, like
Yeah.
head injury. And if you play like contact sports, that's a possibility. I've had concussions before, so I thought maybe it was something from that. And
Yeah.
so I didn't really think much of it. And then Monday afternoon, she calls me at like 4 p.m. and goes, "Okay, so I got a hospital bed reserved for you at the hospital. Pack enough clothes for 2 days, like 2 nights, and we're gonna have you go in and get a workup done of an MRI of your head, and 3 rounds of anti-inflammatory steroids, and a spinal tap or a lumbar puncture where they're going to test
Whoa.
your spinal fluid." I'm like, at that point, I was afraid.
Yeah.
And I go, "What's going on?" And
Right.
she goes, "It's we're not really sure. That's where we're having all this done. Luckily, your insurance is with a research university hospital, and this is kind of the operating procedure. When we want to find something out, we find it out right away." I'm like, okay. So I went in that night to the hospital, got the IV started for the steroids, and then I got my, well, first I got the MRI done on my head, then I started the steroids. Then the next morning, So I was there for one night. The next morning, I had my lumbar puncture done. And
Did it
then,
hurt?
no, because my doctor was super good. She was
Okay.
amazing. I've heard really bad things about lumbar punctures, and mine was phenomenal. So,
Cool.
and then I started the steroids again, and then talked to the one neurologist that came in from the university that next day when I got the lumbar puncture, and was kind of explaining what it is that they're doing and why. And then so they sent off my spinal fluid to like 30 different laboratories around the United States to get a whole bunch of testing done. So like one of them was Guillain-Barré, another one that they were looking for. Another one was ALS. So like they were getting down to it right away. And then like of course this day and age we all have MyChart. And then when you have MyChart, you can see the results live time as they come in and they're ready to be viewed. So I'm looking at the MyChart results the whole time as they're coming in, and
Nice.
everything comes back, negative. Like you are negative for, ALS or, what have you. And then the one thing that came back like positive was the amount of oligoclonal banding in my spinal fluid. And from what I understand, it's like the presence of these proteins that have been broken down that's in your spinal fluid. And if you've had a demyelination process occur, which is what MS is, it's a your nervous system is attacking, or your nervous system is being attacked by your immune system, and it's making these, it's what sclerosis means is scarring. So you have multiple scarring of your myelin in your nervous system, and there's got to be like when that sheath of insulation is broken down into a spot, like there's going to be evidence of that breakdown in the fluid that it stays
Gotcha,
in.
yeah.
So that's kind of what it was. And so like before I was even diagnosed, then the following, I think few days after that, I had my diagnosis already, which really sucks. And I remember thinking to myself, like, well, like what I'm gonna do with my life. I don't know. Like at that point I was really scared and I was really sad. And just like everybody else that gets diagnosed with an incurable disease, like you panic right away. You're like, okay, now what? And then once those emotions kind of pass, I would say within the next like 24 hours, I started doing a lot of research, like especially on YouTube, like looking up everything and anything about multiple sclerosis. So I started following a few different MS doctors on YouTube that are super helpful, and they kind of broke things down like this is what your prognosis could look like if you have this type of MS. So like I think there's three different kinds right now. Actually four. There's like clinical isolation syndrome, which is like the very early onset of MS, but that's like almost never detectable. And then you have relapsing remitting MS, which is what I ended up getting diagnosed with, where you have long periods of disease inactivity and short periods of disease activity, and then it subsides. Then there's secondary progressive MS, and then there's primary progressive MS. And like secondary primary MS, or what is it? Yeah. So the two worst ones are the ones that like you can typically tell someone's got it.
Yeah.
I happen to have the kind that right now you can't tell that I have it. So that all happened at the very end of July of 2022. And then my appointment with my diagnosing neurologist ended up being on August 4th of 2022. And then I started my treatments in September of 2022. My treatment that I get is called Ocrevus, and that is a monoclonal antibody treatment. So it specifically targets my B cell white blood cells. So it will find my B cell white blood cells and then kill them. And when the B cells are gone, my T cells are not able to function the same way and attack me like they had been. So without the presence of B cells, I am immunocompromised. But I take like vitamin D3 and CoQ10 each day, and I don't really get sick. I'm kind of a germaphobe to begin with. So the dates there were really important. August 4th of 2022, I got diagnosed. And then when I was diagnosed, actually a few weeks after that, I went out to Wyoming with my parents, and we went to Yellowstone to visit my uncle because he was working in Yellowstone National Park seasonally. Like, he's retired and he goes out there in the summer to work because he loves it, and visited him. And when we were out there on that trip, I have really thought about, like, okay, these are the things that I can do. What are they? I have no signs of disease activity right now. I can do anything and everything right now that I could do prior to having disease activity in my diagnosis. Let's focus on that and be sure that I'm doing everything within my power to stay that way. So, like, I did a lot of walking and biking and running on the trail by my parents' house, south of town. It's a public trail, and I would go walking or running each day. And so I stayed in really good shape. And I thought, I really want to use up my elk points because now is a better time than ever to really just burn the points and go on that elk hunt that you've always wanted to go on. And I knew I wanted to go on a backcountry hunt. And I knew that I didn't know a whole lot about elk hunting, and I was more than happy to have an outfitter the first time to go on this adventure. And I wanted that horseback experience because it's something that I'd always thought about. So I had got that lined up then with Eli Hale and told him, like, hey, up front, I have MS. You can't tell that I have it, but just to make sure that you're aware that this is what I have in case, on the hunt, there's something that might go wrong. He's like, you're not the first guy to come out here that's got MS. If you're being truthful about how active you are, you're probably in better shape than most of the guys that don't have MS that come out here and hunt with me. I'm like, great.
So, just to jump in real quick, how many points did you burn?
Six.
Are you a man of faith?
I am now.
Oh, yeah? Tell me that part.
Yeah, so I thought I grew up Catholic, and I never, like, there was a brief time in my life, like mid-20s, where I would think where I didn't believe in a God. And then as I got closer to 30, I was like, no, that's not right. Like, there's a creator here. And then when I was diagnosed, I took that as a sign of, like, hey, you need to be more grateful for the things that you do have. So I've definitely gotten more faithful since I was diagnosed. And, it didn't make the film, the Leupold film, but I remember John Bash talking with me when I was getting my infusion that day about, like, we were talking about our faith. And so I'm definitely more of a man of faith than I used to be. And I think it's really important to recognize that there's a lot of things that can't be explained, especially when it's harder, a little bit harder for me, because I went to school and have a biology degree. So there's, like, the evolution, right, of things in our world. But I don't struggle with the fact that I believe there is a God that created all of this to evolve the way it has.
Yeah, and I don't want to go off on like a rabbit trail here, but are you familiar with old earth creationism or like day age creationism?
No.
So I grew up like being taught that, the world was created in seven literal 24-hour periods and is like, 4 to 8,000 years old. And
Okay.
that did not jive with what I observed in the natural world. And
Sure.
I'm a hunter, but also a naturalist. I observe and I'm a thoughtful guy. And I was like, that's not, there's no way. So that made me walk away from my faith. And I'm condensing the story a lot, but I ended up finding this ministry called Reasons to Believe with this guy called Dr. Hugh Ross. I actually did a podcast with him a while ago. Like, amazing. He's a cosmologist, astrophysicist type dude who's a Christian and like done tons of research about this. But anyway, he's one of these guys that is a big proponent of day age creationism, which I would subscribe to, which is like that, like each day, which actually the Hebrew word in the Bible that is used is yom, which is not only refers to 24-hour period, also just it just means like a time. And so I believe like the creation days could have been like millions of years each day or something. You know what I mean? Or, creates the sea creatures, and then like there's the Cambrian explosion, and then the next day creates, like I don't know, I don't have. And also I think a lot of people look at Genesis and try to like be like, okay, this is a scientific manual of the creation. No, it's not. It's Hebrew poetry. It's not a scientific manual. Don't try to use it as one. So yes, I believe that God created the earth from nothing, but maybe not how I was taught it exactly in Sunday school. So anyway, I think there's a lot more to it that can be delved into, but you have to be, willing to, and you still have to be willing to say, hey, there's going to be stuff. And I know this is hard for a lot of people in the scientific community, but there's going to be stuff that like we don't know and we can't explain. That's where faith comes in.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. So anyway, man. All right. So you decide life's too short.
Yep.
Now or never. I'm gonna burn these points. And I have watched your film. It's just been a long time ago. And now, and I did. I forgot. I remembered the elk hunting part, and then I remembered the part where John shot with you and your treatment, because I've done a hunt with John. I know John personally. But I forgot that you were that guy.
Yeah.
So that's cool. But and my wife had MS too, by the way. Half her, at one point, half her body was paralyzed, and she was losing vision in her eye. And actually, God healed her miraculously in a dream. Crazy story. But anyway, you may have heard me mention it before, but I'm really proud to announce that this year I started working with Browning Firearms and Ammunition. This year I am shooting the X-Bolt Speed 2 carbon fiber in 300 Win Mag, and it's one of the best shooting rifles I've ever owned. Super smooth action on it, great trigger, and the stock is completely adjustable. You can adjust the length of pull, the comb height, and even adjust from a sporter style grip to a more vertical style grip. So it's a really versatile gun, fit a lot of different shooters, and it's a great shooting gun. Browning has a full lineup of X-Bolt rifles in different stock options, barrel lengths and materials, and calibers. So go over to browning.com and look at the full lineup of X-Bolt Speed 2 rifles, and I promise you won't be disappointed. Guys, I got to tell you about Canis Athlete Tactical Hunting Apparel. This has got to be one of the best kept secrets in the industry right now. I'm not even kidding. They're a smaller company. They haven't been around that long, but their gear is literally some of the best I've ever worn. It's top tier. I wore it everywhere this year, from Alaska to Wyoming to Spain, and everywhere in between. I wore it out in the desert, into the Oregon rainforest, and it performs everywhere I've taken it. It's very well designed, very well constructed, and great stuff. So you need to go to canisathlete.com, check it out, try a piece or two, use my code QUEST, you'll save some money, and I guarantee you, once you buy that first piece, you're going to want more, because the fit and the function of the stuff is incredible, and it's really second to none. So go to canisathlete.com, use that code QUEST, and I am confident that once you try it, you won't go back. Where was I going with this? So yeah, you decided to burn the points, but when, I guess what, without, I don't know how much you're comfortable with sharing as far as exactly where you were hunting or whatever, and you can share as much as you want or not, but did you swing for the fences and go for a super tough to draw tag, or did you go for one that you thought you could definitely draw on 6 points? Oh, dang it, he froze. He froze
Yeah,
on me.
I
You
am
there?
froze. Here, let me try to
I'm gonna.
take off my Wi-Fi.
Or no, I think it's on my end. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Try cutting your video just for a
Oh, really?
second.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Try cutting your video and see. Did you hear everything I said? You there?
Yeah.
Did you hear everything I said about my wife having MS and everything? Okay, because that's right when you froze. But anyway,
Yeah.
what I was saying was, is did you swing for the fences with your application, or did you apply for something that you thought you had a good chance of drawing?
So I definitely applied to just the general tag because I knew I could draw it with 6 points.
Okay, so you applied for the general.
And
Okay, sweet.
yeah, so I had when I was on that trip to see my Uncle David out in Yellowstone, I kind of we went down into the Jackson Hole area after Yellowstone, and I'm like, the Grand Tetons are so much just more visually striking than Yellowstone. So I'm like, I really want to hunt this area of the state if I can. And so I ended up deciding on Eli as the outfitter. He's The hunting outfit is near Jackson Hole, like just straight south of Jackson Hole by like 20 miles or
Okay.
something. At one point, we could see Jackson Hole from where we were sitting.
Okay.
And
That's
we could.
not, I was in that area too on my hunt, like in that vicinity of the state.
Yeah. It's just like that's where I wanted to go on my hunt. And so we made it happen. Luckily, that was all like. General area, you can get a general tag and go to that area. So, I mean, it's hairy country.
Oh yeah.
You don't need a horse, but it's like imperative to have one when you are not a triathlete, I would say, level of fitness to get
Yeah.
back into those places where the elk live.
And getting
So,
back in there is one thing. Getting an elk out is another thing.
yeah, that's the worst part.
Yeah. 'Cause we were back there too. Like we spent a couple days hunting lower stuff near our base camp, and then we decided we saw eight grizzlies and four wolves and like seven guys, and we're like, all right, we got it. So at that point, and I
Yeah.
didn't realize how much work horses were. At that point, we loaded up and went super far back in there, and then that's when we started seeing a ton of elk. But
Yep.
yeah, we wouldn't have been able to pack it. I mean, we were 13 miles or something. Like, it would
Oh
have
yeah.
been awful to pack an elk out of
Yeah. That
that.
was, I mean, that's probably about what we ended up being at when I killed mine was we were 11 miles, 11 or 12 miles back in from base camp to high camp, and then from high camp we ride out in the mornings to go look
Yeah.
for elk, and
Yeah.
we were probably a 40-minute ride from camp when I spotted him. So yeah, we're probably about
Oh
that
wow.
far.
Yeah. So, when did you so you drew the tag, got your outfitter, you're like, let's do this. When did you become aware of Project Hunt? How did that whole thing come about?
Sure. So I was aware of Project Hunt before I had drew the tag.
Okay.
I had watched the Project Hunt films already. And I had always followed Leupold on, for sure, on YouTube and Facebook. But I knew like the first film that I watched of Leupold's where I thought this is world class videography was the one where they go hunt caribou and muskox in Greenland.
Okay. Was that with Pedro? Or no?
No.
That
That
was a
was with
Yeti phone.
I think Frank is the outfitter's name.
Oh, okay.
I forget the name of the film itself,
That's
but
okay.
it's a great film. And then I'm like, wow, they do really, really good videography. And
Yeah.
then I come to
All their
find out.
stuff is just like, that's why I wanted to work with them from the beginning, is like they don't put out stuff that doesn't look amazing. So.
So I watched the Project Hunt films, and then I kind of like forgotten about applying up until I kept seeing them post about it, like, hey, this is your, 3 days or whatever it was, 3 more days to apply. And I go, maybe I should apply. I don't know what's gonna happen. So I applied. I think it was like the second to last day I could even apply. And by that point, like most Western states or anywhere where you're hunting, if you drew your tag, which is, strategically like, okay, it's June 22nd this year, whatever day it is where their contest ends. So everybody knows if they're going on their hunt or not by then, which is good. So I applied. And there's the online form that you fill out, all the specifics it asks for. Then you have to submit the short YouTube video, like saying, like, I'm Cody Austin, I'm from New Glarus, Wisconsin, I'm going on this hunt, my dad's coming with, this is the reason why I decided to go on this hunt, kind of a thing. And I said, for me, it was important because the way that I put that video, I put it on YouTube to where you could only view the video if you had the link. So I knew if I gave Leupold the link to see the video, that only Leupold people are going to be watching it to know, like, I can watch traffic then on that particular video. Like, oh, so like after the first week, there was like 5 views. I'm like, oh, cool. Okay. So they watched it. And then I checked back, like, another few days later, and it had like 13 views. I'm like, oh,
That's
okay.
good.
So I guess it's, spread around a little bit there, at Leupold. And then I got the email from Sean Skipper
Nice.
at Leupold, probably like 3 weeks after the application for it had closed, and set up the first interview. That went well. And then after that, Sean and Scott were like asking really specific questions, like, do you know how many vehicles are going to be parked at base camp? Like, and it was all for that, the film application, the film license application for filming. So I was like, guys, I keep bothering my outfitter with all these really specific questions. Like, I kind of feel bad because I'm calling up Eli and he's a contractor. He's in the middle of building a house right now, and I keep calling him with these questions. And so August, I had a second interview with him then, and that went really well. And then I figured, after the second one, it's like, okay, I got to be making it to like their final few amounts of people they're gonna select. And then I got the email from Scott and Sean. I think it was Sean, now that I think about it, on August 4th of 2023, so like a year to the day after I was diagnosed, letting me know that I had won Project Hunt.
Wow, that's crazy timing. There's certain things like that in life. They're just like, I feel like it's God being like, yeah, this is me.
And that's what I thought too. That's exactly what I thought, was like, this was God telling me, like, this is why you were diagnosed.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Okay.
So
To give you a whole new perspective on life and stuff, maybe. Or maybe, God used a potentially negative situation and turned it for good, So I don't want to go too in detail on the hunt because people can go watch it, and I want them to go watch it. But what was your experience? So did John film the hunt,
So
or did Luke film it?
Luke filmed the hunt. John filmed the infusion day, and then
Gotcha.
after that I went to work and pruned that tree, and then
So what was your experience with working? Because for me, it's like, it's normal. But for people who don't work with videographers all the time, they might be like, well, I got this big hunt. I don't know if I want this guy tagging along with me. What was your experience working with a videographer? Did it hold you back? Did you enjoy it? What was that like?
I had it was like one of those things in your life that can steer you into a new direction of finding something you're passionate about, is how I would describe it.
Oh, cool.
So working with John and then working with Luke on the hunt, like they were very much like, I'm just back here gonna film it. I'm gonna ask you some questions, you know. If I'm interviewing you, I'm going to ask you some questions. You just answer truthfully. And it was a super eye-opening experience as to how well that can work. Like that, and I attribute that to both John and Luke being, you know, world class in
For sure, they are.
their trade. Like that is their industry, and they are world class at what they do. And so like it was really great to work with Leupold through them because they're also world class.
Yeah, and I've been blessed to I've done several hunts with Luke. He's one of my good buddies, and I've done a hunt with John as well. They're both, yeah, like you said, world class. And whether it's John or Luke on the next project hunt, I don't know, but I do know that Leupold is gonna hire best in class guys like a John or a Luke. Hopefully you'll get lucky and maybe you'll get Luke but or John. But yeah, so yeah, it didn't feel like they're holding you back or anything like that. And then I
No.
guess I did have one like kind of kind of negative Debbie Downer type dude. He's not a negative dude, but I had a negative, oh, like somebody's Leupold's getting free marketing from you and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, well, it's actually really cool too because it's an opportunity to have like your adventure documented. Like a lot of people think that's really cool. And it's not something that, what Luke and John do is one of the hardest jobs on the planet. I've done it myself. I used to film hunts for people. It's one of the hardest jobs on the planet. And they usually do it for pretty dang low by like film industry standards, to be honest. But like even then, it's expensive, was what I'm trying to get at, to get someone to film and do it well, to film it well, a hunt like this. It's not just like you're going to sit in a tree stand or like whatever. This is like a legit hunt. So not many people have that opportunity to capture it that way. And you might have some cell phone videos or whatever, but like, what's it like being able to go back to those photos and go back and watch this hunt and relive that kind of memory in such an awesome like quality way.
It's surreal. Like I still don't, it doesn't feel like it happened because it happened and it worked. Everything worked so well, like from start to finish. Luke and John do such an incredible job at what they do. It's just like I can't put into words how good they are at telling a story. Because that's what Project Hunt is about, right? That you have a story to tell, and they're gonna, Leupold will spare no expense at creating your story and bringing it to life for you. So I had this story, and I had a really compelling reason to apply to Project Hunt. I highly encourage other people that have a really unique tag to apply, as well as this could be Grandpa's last season going duck hunting in the duck hunting blind. And so we're going to try to make it extra special. Like anything and everything between that, you know? And that's
For
what
sure.
Leupold's looking for. They want to put, I would like to think, good-hearted people in front of the camera and tell their story. And
Yeah, for sure.
it just worked so well. That experience manifested like a new sort of passion for me, and that is I bought a used Nikon Z6 camera and like a
Nice.
pretty nice lens after that, a few months after the hunt. And then I started getting into photography, like taking photos. And then I'm
Nice.
like, well, I'd like to segue into like filming things. So I started filming things. My girlfriend Katie was super generous and bought me 180 to 600 mil lens for
Ooh,
that as a
nice.
as an early Christmas gift, and gave it to me so I could use it during whitetail rifle season in Wisconsin last fall. And so
Nice.
I actually was able to film
Oh
me
yeah, you
shooting
sent
a
me your,
buck.
yeah, that was nice.
And so like I started making YouTube videos, and I'll be the
Sweet.
first to admit I don't really have like a set criteria of this is my identity as a content creator, because I've put on like DIY videos of this is how you change out a ceiling light, and I've also made a 22-minute whitetail hunting film. So
Yeah.
it's like it's just fun for me, and
For sure.
it's a new passion. And it's gotten me to think about how special somebody like yourself is, and John and Luke, that do incredible work that no one really sees. And like the editing involved to make all that happen is insane. So you guys are like, I give you a lot of credit at what
I
you
appreciate
do.
it, man.
So I'm really looking forward to the elk hunt tonight, though. That's
Yeah.
dropping. So,
Yeah, thank you, man. No, I appreciate it. It is a lot of work, and I'm not trying to like brag or anything, but I do put a lot of pride into what I produce, and I've obviously I work with Leupold, but I've produced films for Leupold also and worked with Luke and John and different guys on stuff. So it is a lot of work, but I'm the same with you, man. Like I do it because I love it, you know? And it doesn't matter what you're creating. Like I said, if it's a DIY house project or whatever, like the important thing is like you're enjoying it. You love it. It's like something, like you said, it's like a new passion. So that's really cool, man. And that's the same with me. I mean, I have started working with, I'm working with a really talented young guy right now named Jamin, who is helping me do some editing this year just because it's become too much to edit all my own episodes. But still, I personally edited two of my films this year just because I love it. Like I can't not do a couple of them at least. And it's so fun, and to see all that just hard drive full of junk, not junk, but you know, hard drive full of just chaos. And then like I envision almost as like this giant slab of marble, and you're just chiseling it down until like you get to this like awesome, beautiful little sculpture of a little piece. And so I love it, man. That's really cool that it ignited that. And I do remember you sent me that thing. Like, sorry, like, you know, I got so much going on, I forget sometimes who sends me what. But I do remember watching your thing you sent me, and that's awesome. It ignited that whole new passion in you, man. So, well, cool, man. That's awesome, dude. Thank you for sharing your story. And, you know, is there anything else like you want to like just say kind of in closing?
The next thing I hopefully
Yeah,
have
what's next for
planned
you?
for next, so like in Wisconsin here, in the central area of Wisconsin, they call it the Central Herd. We have an elk herd
Oh, yeah, I heard
that
about
was
that.
started in 2015. We transplanted elk from Kentucky, through like RMEF, shout out to them, and Wisconsin DNR. And last year, once I got my camera and then my lens, I actually borrowed my buddy Carl's lens, same exact one I ended up getting from Katie, before, to test out like this is what I want. And I went and filmed elk from the car
Oh, nice.
in central Wisconsin, thanks to my uncle Tim, who told me where to find them. And then so I have a lot of elk videos that I've put on YouTube.
Nice.
And this upcoming season, I didn't get drawn for the tag. Last year, Wisconsin DNR did the first central herd elk hunt where only four people got tags. I was not able to draw a tag. I probably never will. But my goal is to hopefully film somebody's elk hunt here in Wisconsin for them and put it on YouTube. And I've really looked into and talking to Luke about, hey, all this really, really good music that one can use in a film, like the Project Hunt film. Like, where does someone like you get that? And he told me. And then so like it's nice to be able to work up to that. Like I'm adding this copyrighted music that's already been bought and paid for by this app developer to incorporate into my films. And then YouTube no longer flags my content as copyright. So it's really, really fun learning the intricacies of this part of our lives, right? Like you and I as hunters, it's really awesome learning all that. So that's kind of what's next for me. I hope to make a connection with somebody willing to film their hunt. If not, I'll still go and enjoy late August through mid-October, I would say, in central Wisconsin and film some elk. So that's what I'm looking forward to doing. And then, of course, I'm a huge bow hunter. I don't have any hunts lined up this year, like out west or anything other than just whitetail hunting. But I think next year in 2026, I'm going back to hunt with Eli. And I have, by that point, I'll have seven or eight mule deer preference points.
Heck yeah.
For so I should be able to draw that mule deer tag. I think it's region H or G. It's either G or H. I'll be able to draw. So
That's dope, man.
that's what I got going on.
I was gonna ask if you were banking points. Let's hopefully you are.
I am. I'm accumulating more elk points because I talked my dad into starting to do it because him and I are gonna wanna go together back to Eli again when we can get a tag. And we've talked to Luke and his dad Matt, and I think Luke's plan is to do the same thing. Like he wants to take his dad to hunt at Eli's, and if we can line it up so like the four of us go out there, like
That'd be
me
awesome.
and our dads, that would be
That'd be really
amazing.
cool.
So
If you had to pick elk or mule deer, which one are you going with?
elk,
You're an elk guy? Okay.
well, basically only because like it's not what they look like. It's I can shoot this animal and it'll give me 250 pounds of meat. And I have to go and access the same exact area of the backcountry to do both of them. And so it's like, I guess for me, the elk is the biggest bang for
Bigger
the buck.
payout.
Yeah.
No, I
So,
get that for sure.
but like mule deer, like I would love to shoot 180 inch dark antlered mule deer.
Oh, yeah, me too, man. Me too.
So, yeah.
I've shot two mature mule deer. They're not that big. Let me show you my Colorado one. This is my one from this year. This film is going to be coming out in a couple weeks too, but
All
not
right.
nothing crazy, but like
Yeah.
mature, nice 4-point with eye guards. He's got some, I think he had some
Yeah.
arterial worms crawling
Yeah.
there,
I see that he's
and
got like an acorn looking thing there. That's pretty cool.
which is add some character. But anyway, super cool hunt, man. Like it was completely solo, and I shot him at like 9:30 a.m. on the opener,
Nice.
which is bittersweet. But anyway,
Yeah.
and then yeah, that's the elk from my general tag that film's coming out tonight. He's a small six. He broke off on one side, but did you ever watch this hunt, the New Mexico one, where the bull jumped up? It's on
Yes.
my channel. It's where I
With the
shot him
muzzle
once,
loader?
and then I'm walking up, and he
Yeah.
gets up. Yeah, well, that's
Yep.
that one.
Yeah, that
And
was
then
like a circus.
that's that huge blacktail I killed with Luke.
Yeah.
That's on the Loophole
Yep.
YouTube channel.
That hunt was amazing. And I remember Luke sending me pictures of that like after that, because that was a couple weeks after my elk hunt that he
Oh yeah,
filmed.
that's right. That was
And
like the same.
he was showing me pictures of that, and I'm like, No way. That thing was giant. And then he showed me his that he killed his
I
steak.
filmed him shoot his, and it's a nice buck too.
Yeah.
And yeah, because I remember that's when I saw your film was I was out there with those guys, and they showed it to me before it was even like released yet, and I saw it probably even before you did.
Yeah, you probably did. I saw it like April of last year, and
I bet that
then
was exciting, huh?
it was super exciting. And then June of last year is when they premiered the film at Big Sky TAC, and like
Oh,
Randy
cool.
Newberg was there, and Fred
That's
Eichler
sick.
was there. Yeah, I got to meet those guys. I got to meet Jason Matzinger. I was like, holy cow, there's like, all these people that I've looked up to for many years are right in front of me, and they know me by name. You
That's
know,
cool, man.
it was really awesome.
That's super cool. Well, where can folks go if they want to check out some of your stuff on YouTube?
My YouTube channel is just my name. It's at Cody underscore Austin, I think is what it is. But if that's hard to find, just type in Wisconsin elk. And I'm sure some of it, my videos will show up. There's a few videos that one of the videos has like 26,000 views, but it's like a minute
Nice.
long. And then I got a couple more that are between like 9,000 and 17,000 views. And then it's been really fun learning the YouTube content creator process and what they're looking
Yeah.
for.
Fun is one word for it. I hate it. I mean, I don't hate it, but it's like, it's so frustrating. 'Cause it's such a mind game. But anyway, another story for another day. But yeah, we have a Virginia elk herd too. My brother-in-law's dad drew it lost last year. I wasn't able to do anything with it. But anyway, maybe one day I'll draw that. Who knows? But probably not, like you're saying. But anyway, man, it's been really cool talking to you. I appreciate your time, and thanks for sharing your story again.
Yeah, you bet. I hope this, kind of lets people see, hey, I should apply to Project Hunt because it will change your life for the positive. So
Cool.
thank you so much for having me. It's been an honor.
Yeah, man. Thanks again.